Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
People saying they're gonna boo him. No, he's gonna get batteries thrown at him.
Yeah, this is going to be physical assault.
This city police threw batteries at J.D. Drew, and they threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
How do you throw anything at J.D. Drew? Like, that dude was like, I think pretty good.
All right, what's brewing, everybody? Welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehards, PWHL Boston Diehards.
Whoa, flows right off the tongue.
It really does. I am Chris Gear. I'm here with Cam Hasbrook. How you doing, Cam?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you? You know, it's nice Sunday afternoon. We were talking it up a little pre-pod. Quieter day for both of us until my Rams play later against the Lions. So by the time this comes out, I guess the outcome of that will be determined. But send your good vibes backwards and toward my boys if you're listening to this.
Yeah, and to friend of the pod Richie's team as well.
Yep, shout out. Yeah, Richie and I will be going back and forth. Richie and I usually touch in at least once a week, and it's during Liverpool and during the Rams. So. It's just kind of like a constant Twitter stream of us just either airing our grievances or celebrating things that are happening. It's a good time. Yeah,
things in Liverpool land are going well right now, though.
They certainly are. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's before we dive into hockey, let's talk some beers, because I know I had some excitement this morning. I don't know if you're rocking anything right now.
I actually am not. I was going to save it. I know they're going to be flowing for the football games tonight, so I'm trying to get myself until 4:30 here. I am warming up with a nice Market Basket seltzer, though. Shouts to Market Basket and their seltzer. I would give a shout out to a beer I had last night, although I'm forgetting the name of it. So I'll look it up quickly while you present yours.
All right. Well, I'll just let the can speak for itself. Pretty extensively written on the back is Heady Topper is an American double India pale ale. This beer is not intended to be the biggest or most bitter. It is meant to give you wave after wave of hoppy goodness on your palate. Tremendous amounts of American hops will creep up on you and leave you with a dense hoppy finish in your mouth. So drinkable, it's scary.
Hey, oh my God. That. Wow. This is...
So, I mean, they better deliver on this. I mean, I've had Heady Topper before, but it's been a while. Sometimes I wish I could crawl right into the can. Freshness and control have always been my main concern when it comes to our beer. We are committed to providing you with an unfiltered and unpasteurized hop experience. Why do I recommend that you drink it from the can? Quite simply, to ensure a delightful hop experience. The act of pouring it in a glass smells nice, but it releases the essential hop aromas that we have worked so hard to retain. And then it asks if you must pour it into a glass. I'm not going to do that because it says in really big letters on the top, drink from the can, drink from the can, drink from the can.
That is interesting. Yeah.
With exclamation points. Yeah. I rarely drink, you know,
from the can.
Good beers from the can. Partially because I, while watching Bar Rescue, John Tapper always, John Taffer. I don't remember his name. He always, shows like what happens when you don't pour into a can or pour out of a can or out of a bottle, where like inside your stomach all of the bubbling happens instead of in the glass.
Is that a thing? Wow.
Yeah, so it fills you up extra. He doesn't do it for the like comfort of it. He does it so that people buy more beers and feel less full.
Yeah.
I do it for the comfort of it.
Yeah. I also just feel like it's a nice experience pouring a beer out of a can. You know, it's like part of the preparation process. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm about to drink a beer. It's always a good time. So,
yeah.
But nothing against. I do respect that they're taking a stand here, though. They're like, you know, this is how we made it. You know, don't put salt on it. This is chef's way, you know, kind of thing. So I'm cool with that.
So yeah, unless you've been living under a rock for the last decade of craft beer, decade, 2 decades, this is a heady topper from The Alchemist in Vermont, Stowe, Vermont, to be more specific. Generally considered one of the best beers ever made. I don't know if that's still the case. I've been out of the craft beer ranking scene for a few years now, but I know a lot of people consider these up with like Pliny the Elder and whatnot. Not that you can't find Heady Topper out here, but the fact that the liquor store literally closest to my house has it is something else.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Just for
I will
you.
Say extremely expensive. Yeah. And I don't know how long it's been on the shelf there, because this does also say like, hey, drink this beer immediately. So I don't know, but we'll give it a go. It smells like a beer. Yeah, I mean, that's really pleasant. 8% alcohol, does not taste like it, which is a little dangerous, but you know. Yeah, nothing insane, no like weird fruity notes or anything like that. Not that I don't like a fruity note on a beer, but this is like a very straightforward piney IPA. And I think sometimes when you do a double IPA, you kind of lose that flavor a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the more alcohol you go, the less hoppy it gets generally. Mm-hmm. This is still really hoppy. You know, doesn't deliver on the so drinkable it's scary, I think. It is a pretty bitter hop flavor.
But for 8%?
For 8%, it's real. So if we're on a scale, it's probably a 37. I think just like purely rating on a scale of 1 to 37, it's probably somewhere in the like 21 range. Tasteability though, I'm going 37, because you know, real tasteable. This is it is both tasty and tasteable. I think this is definitely one more for my hop head days. Now I'm a little more of a pilsner guy. But yeah, I mean, glad I found this. Glad I picked it up. Yeah, I also picked up another 4-pack that I'll reveal on the pod in later days.
I'd love to see that. More of a fine pilsner guy these days.
Yeah, fine pilsner beer.
Pilsner beer, man.
So let's talk hockey, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well, real quick, shouts to Fraktur. It's the German Kolsch I had from Foulmouth Brewing. German-style Kolsch. It's brewed here in Maine. But
is that the one with the hat that you got?
No, actually, it's not. That's a different company, but...
Kolsch.
I do love my Kolsch hat. Yeah, that's shouts to Definitive. I hopefully be heading that way tomorrow after a little trip at Sunday River. But no, the Fraktur by Foulmouth, very, very solid Kolsch. It was nice. I'll number it sometime. You know, you can't be numbering it a day later. It just feels wrong.
Is,
you know, there's too much.
Is Foulmouth a play on Falmouth?
Yes. Okay. I think it's based in their original place. I think they have several now, but Foulmouth in Falmouth, Maine. Well,
all right.
Well done by them. You know,
That's good stuff.
It is good brand. And honestly, this is, I love the can that they have for this. It's kind of like a floral birdie. It's like a almost like an old style like German wallpaper kind of thing they got going on. It's very neat. So always appreciate good beer branding. I feel like there's a special art to it. It's different than other branding, you know. There's like certain principles I feel like you have to adhere to about can art, but yet, you know, it can be very creative as well. I feel like that would be a fun like side gig to just create cans, you know. Anyway, yeah. Hockey.
Yeah. Start with the P-Dub, Boston team. So I didn't even watch the first two periods. I planned on maybe picking up in the middle of the second period, but I saw that they were down 2-0, and I was like, whatever. Maybe we'll just chalk this up as another disappointing loss, and I don't need to bother myself with it. But then I, I checked it on the score. I saw it was 2-2 in the third. Jumped in. Got to witness Aaron Frankel basically saving the asses of everybody on that team. I don't remember what the final shot totals were, but it was like 18 or 19 for Boston and then like 35 for Montreal.
Yeah.
One of those games that kind of, you know, you come out with a win in that one.
you feel pretty good.
Lucky. But yeah, Marie-Philippe Poulin scores the game-winning goal. But wait,
there's more.
It was ruled goaltender interference. I feel like that's one of those ones where if you're rooting for Boston, you see it as, hey, like, yeah, that's classic goaltender interference. But if you're rooting for Montreal, maybe you see Hillary Knight make a little push. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, Amanda Pelkey scores the game winner. The official game winner.
The proper game winner. The way God intended.
And PWHL Boston gets their first win of the season in their second game. The scheduled second game was rescheduled because of weather, which seems to be happening all around sports these days. I don't know. I'm looking out the window right now. It looks fine to me. So
yeah,
it's very cold. I don't know why everyone's talking about how cold it is.
We obviously with the opening game, with the loss they took back in Lowell, we would like to see a win there. I'm not really going to complain about going to Montreal and beating Montreal for your first franchise win. Like I obviously would have liked it sooner, but there's something kind of poetic about that as well. So, may it be the opening to a fierce rivalry between these two teams. Obviously predestined to hate each other from history on the men's side. I think it's only bound to bleed over onto the women's side as well. So an exciting win for sure. And hopefully something that can kick this team into gear a little bit. I feel like it's been a little bit of a slower start than we'd like. Sometimes you got to steal one or two to kind of get the thing rolling, but obviously still very early in the season as well. So a lot of hockey to be played.
Yeah. I mean, we pointed out it's a pretty long season. This is going to be longer than the NWHL and PHF seasons were. Mm-hmm. Each win still matters, but each loss doesn't matter quite as much. You want to get that first W. That's big. I mean, even in the win, feels like a steal, not like a confident W in the column.
Yeah.
But, I think we're still looking for that, that style of play that Bostoners like from their hockey teams. And mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of expecting more high flying, more aggressive play, but, there's plenty of season. They didn't have a lot of off season to train and practice. So, it'll come together and we'll see what the team's really made of in coming weeks.
Yeah, it does feel like the end of the season is going to be a lot more indicative of where each team is at. Obviously, like you said, things came together pretty quickly. And like any team, I guess, obviously molds over the course of a season. But I think especially under the circumstances that these teams are in this season, it's a little more extreme probably for that. So, we'll see where everybody's at when the race is being run toward its finish. But, obviously nice to get that first win off the back, even if it is a little lucky, a little fluky, maybe. Definitely good to at least shake that off your back and not be carrying 6-7 games into the season, something like that, where all of a sudden it's becoming, a narrative in its own. At least just have one under the belt is going to be big conference-wise, I'm sure. So that's always good.
Yeah, and speaking of lucky, maybe fluky wins, we finally get an overtime win for the Bruins. This team absolutely loves losing in overtime. You get two goals from Brad Marchand, who's starting to really heat up. I'd been told that this was the year of his decline, and he's on pace for 38 goals or something like that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good decline.
Yeah, I believe his career high is 38 or 39. I don't remember exactly. I would love for him to hit 40 someday. I know that's something that he's always wanted to do, and one of the things holding him back from that has always been the suspensions. But, a fully healthy season, if he really heats up, I think he might be able to hit that mark. I mean, I saw David Pastrnak make a couple of sick passes in this game, specifically that one.
Backdoor to Marshy was disgusting. Yeah.
So I loved that play for two reasons. One, JVR between the legs, backwards pass to Pasta, mm-hmm. and then Pasta. Every single person in the stadium thinking Pasta was going to take that shot. And Marshy was just like a wide open net. I've never seen anyone more excited to point at their teammates, yeah, to give them credit for the goal than Marchand.
No, it was honestly so much more impressive than scoring. Like, I was watching the highlights back and, like, obviously thought Pasternak was going to shoot. And when he made the pass, like, you could have, like, told me that Marchand appeared the moment. Like, I didn't even see him. Like, normally I'm, like, the guy is, like, looking backdoor for that kind of thing. Didn't even see him. I was like, what is he doing? Not sure. I was like, oh, my God, never mind. That was, like, the easiest backdoor goal that you could possibly score if you're Marchand. And just incredible vision. And, I, you know, obviously Pasternak, who's known for his ability to put the puck in the back of the net, I think how incredible of a passer he is sometimes and the vision that he has on the ice is occasionally overlooked. So nice to see it shine there a little bit.
Yeah, and I think something that he developed in much the same way that Marchand developed his passing ability too. Both guys kind of started off as the goal scorer type, and that, you know, the assist numbers eventually caught up, and you know, he's a star player for a reason. And I mean, having a guy like Marchie on your team can't hurt. So
yeah,
and maybe more impressive for Marchand was the first goal he scored.
Yeah.
I mean, overall goal style, like, I think I prefer the power play tick-tack goal. But yeah, Marchie just kind of finding his way into a spot and, you know, really tight area and got it roof right inside the
violating
post.
Jordan Binnington.
Jordan Binnington, which we hate to see it. It happened to such a great person.
Just such a good guy. Such a good guy, that JB. That's what everybody says. Nice to see McAvoy's tuck two on him as well. Always good.
Yeah. I was gonna touch on McAvoy's goals. I think the regulation goal was pretty sick. I mean, yeah, driving the middle, receiving that pass off the skates, and then just, you know, putting it right by Binnington. Like, that's good stuff. We've been waiting for Chuck to pick up his offensive production for a while. You know, it always kind of feels like he's hanging around there, like in the top 10, top 15 of defenseman scoring. But, you know, it never feels like he's scoring goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see the skill. Like, this guy has some skills.
Yeah. I actually, it's funny you mentioned, I have the top 20 defenseman scoring in front of me right now because I watched the highlights, saw him score two, and I was like, wait, I wonder where he's at right now. And, like, because we've talked about it a bunch on the show before, but I like, that's if somehow he doesn't end up winning a Norris Trophy, which would be crazy, it's going to be because he doesn't have point totals, because Quinn Hughes has got 51 already. You know what I mean? This, like, that kind of thing, it could happen every year. I don't think there's much of a doubt that he's one of the best defensemen in the NHL. It's just his game is just not as flashy. It's just the way it is. And I think that would be an interesting conversation to have. Maybe we'll wait and have it with Drew sometime. But, like, do we think he's actually going to win one over the course of his career? I think, like, you ask anybody if he deserves to win one, I think most people would tell you yes. But it's like, when is it going to happen unless he has some year that he's scoring like crazy? Which, again, it's not – and it's not like he's like a defenseman either. It's just not his game to be as flashy as some of the younger, quicker defensemen that we're seeing in the league right now. But it is interesting. Is, like, you know, is there a place for that, at least in the mind of voters, that, you know, you can win it without scoring 80 points in a season or something like that anymore? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's really funny. I have a very specific memory of when McAvoy was drafted. And you know how they always make those, like, really lofty comps. He was, what, the 14th overall pick?
I think so.
And the comp they made was PK Subban. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You can get PK with the 14th pick. And I mean, like, yeah, not as flashy, like, doesn't have the big bomb slap shot.
Yeah.
But he does have a little bit of that skating ability, does have the puck skills.
Body and size, they are pretty similar in how they play, honestly, or how PK played,
and can really lay that hip check. That's it's not a terrible comp.
No, it's pretty good actually. Yeah,
at this point in their careers, very similar production levels. Pretty wild that the Bruins have moved directly from the Zdeno Chara era to the Charlie McAvoy era.
Yeah.
I think that's you know, when you go through the checklist of the things that you need on a team to win the Stanley Cup, you know, a true number one defenseman is maybe the top thing you need.
And somebody who's just like a horse can just eat minutes, because yep. that's what you really need out of the number one. Like, they can, you can be a number one defenseman in talent and still not be able to eat 25 a game. And McAvoy can eat 25 a game and be very effective. Like, if you were watching a Bruins game and you try to play the, like, count how many times you can, like, notice when Charlie McAvoy is not on the ice, like, it's few. He is usually on the ice. And
when he's not, you got Hampus Lindholm.
Exactly. Which, I mean, what a deal that was, looking back, just getting him. I
take back everything I said when that the contract extension was in place. I do think the back end of that contract is going to look pretty poor, but
worth right now for sure.
Yeah, it's been good, and I mean, any sort of, you know, negative opinions people have of Hampus Lindholm this year have mostly been about his offensive game, and I don't think that is a thing we need.
Yeah.
He needs to buckle down defensively and just eat minutes, like you've been saying. And I think he and Brandon Carlo, who now injured, have been doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
So to the second Charlie McAvoy goal.
Yeah. That one was well, actually, I guess first of all, Chris, did you know that that we know that hockey games move fast, but the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice.
I didn't know that.
Well, this week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. That's new. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill and Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey eligibility and or for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and, of course, the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, period. All rights reserved, period.
Don't worry. We've been given express written consent by the National Hockey League.
Here's my express written consent. It's on the screen.
For accounts and dissemination of the events of these games. Yeah, so the second McAvoy goal, I mean, first of all, Bruins had a pretty decent opportunity at the end of regulation to, you know, we had a Charlie Coyle rush at the end to potentially win it with about 5 seconds left, but went into overtime. Bruins give up possession, immediately regain possession going into the neutral zone. I think it was Jordan Kyrou got tripped in the neutral zone. Not called. I would have a lot more sympathy if there weren't any
fucking anything
no tripping calls that maybe had some more significance in this two-team rivalry here. McAvoy takes it the other way, kind of leaves the pass as an option, and then just fucking rips it past Binnington. Great shot. We love that.
Yeah, that was nice, poetic in its own way. Also kind of hurts, you know, just in its own way. It's like, oh, I didn't need to think about that again. Some interesting responses in the YouTube comments, as you can imagine, when I was watching highlights earlier today. it was one of those ones where you just had to laugh. Like, you're like, ah, that's, you know, maybe it is a simulation. You know, those are the ones where you kind of just wonder. But no, I mean, nice to see the Bruins finally get a fucking win out of an overtime game. All things considered, looking at the West Coast road trip, you're getting a lot of points out of games. So that's good. But obviously, it's frustrating still to lose multiple games on the run in overtime. So to see it finally fall in the right direction for them has been good. I know the old adage, especially with the Bruins over the last couple of seasons, was that they were just awful in the shootout. And it seems like that has just extended into the overtime period now, which is weird because you think, look at the talent and, you know, you're like, it's kind of built for guys like Pastrnak and things like that. But, you know, it's just sometimes it's not that easy. Even Marchand, but sometimes it just, you know, falls a different way because I don't know if you've heard this before, Chris, but actually hockey, pretty weird sport.
Hockey is random.
Random. So yeah, nice to see it fall in the correct direction with just some exemplary officiating to hold it out. So
we love to see it.
Yeah. Go bees.
What do we got on the schedule? You got the schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's take a look here. It appears I think they got the Devils. Yeah, so Devils tomorrow, 1 p.m. MLK Day game, apparently. I don't know. Maybe they're not trying to compete with football. I don't know. It's just a little weird. I know it's holiday, but...
Well, which game got rescheduled? So,
I think Buffalo-Pittsburgh.
So that was the earlier game, right? So
yeah, they're doing it earlier. I think they're doing it at 4:30, I think it is. So,
so you could just watch... hockey, football.
Yeah.
Great MLK Day.
I'm gonna be skiing, but I'll catch some of it. And then Avalanche coming to town. Obviously the Bruins just saw them earlier this week. Or I guess technically right last week, now that's Sunday. Canadians and then the Jets, who are apparently very good at hockey now, which is weird. That surprised me. I hadn't really seen anything that much about them. And then I looked at the standings the other day. I was like, holy shit, the Jets? Really? Like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, so. Last we talked about the Jets, if we ever did, it was the Scheifele and Hellebuck extensions. And like, all right, what are we doing here?
Yeah. This doesn't seem like and yet. They are, I think, the top team in the NHL by points right now. No, they're behind the Canucks by one, but yeah. Well, although they have a game in hand, so.
Yeah,
that's
just
crazy.
Just like we all drew up at the beginning of the season, Canucks and Jets going to be top two.
Yep. Yep. Oilers have won 10 straight somehow.
Wild. Good stuff for them.
Yeah, we all know how that's going to end. So it's like the Leafs. It's like, you know, it may be entertaining during the regular season, but we know how this story ends. It's going to be good. Hopefully a good performance against the big bad Jets. I can't, it sounds weird, you know? I don't know. Sure. Good for them. What else they got going on in Winnipeg? Maybe they got a lot going on. Maybe Winnipeg is like the Iceland Greenland thing where they just like, you know, they market it terribly, but it's actually sweet kind of thing. You know, they're like, oh, don't go here. It's full of ice. And then you go to Iceland. You're like, oh, this is really nice. Like,
do we want to talk? Speaking of shipping, I don't know. I remember people talking about it. If Cutter Gauthier is going to beg for a trade, you don't trade him to Anaheim.
Yeah.
Winnipeg. You got any thoughts on that deal?
Yeah, that was weird, right? That whole situation was just crazy. And now, like, Torts is saying weird shit. I don't know if you saw what he said. It was strange today or yesterday or whatever. So, yeah, interesting one. I mean, I don't understand all of the outrage toward players when they are like, no. You know, I mean, if a player has the power to do that, then they, like, why not? I don't know. You know, it's like they don't – it is their livelihood. It is – their life, like it's not just a job, like it's where they have to live, it's that kind of thing. So,
and also he went to college, right? So like he could stay in college and then become a free agent if he wanted to as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, just saying like, hey, it's not my intention to play for the Flyers, so if you guys want to get something for me, go for it now. Yeah, I don't know. That's
just a very weird situation. And then just how like the like almost coordinated like PR effort from the Flyers as it came out, where it was like Danny Briere was talking about it. And then like, so like, everybody had like the pre-prepared take and like, they all thanked the other teams for staying silent about it and stuff. It was like a very, like they all rehearsed the script and like, we're going to roll out our communication team to like kind of shit on this kid, but also like,
Then there's the whole Kevin Hayes thing. Like,
what the hell is going on?
Claiming like he was part of it.
Yeah. Like, and he was like, fuck off, pretty much. It was just a whole thing that really just made very little sense.
Anyway, I mean, for not having any leverage in a trade negotiation, I think Jamie Drysdale and a second round pick are pretty good haul for a guy who didn't want to play for you.
I mean,
kind of leaves the future Ducks blue line in shambles, but you know,
at least they got Cutter.
That was
one of the more interesting. You don't see weird trade drama like that in the NHL much. I feel like, you know, it's more of an NBA thing, but.
And they handled it as you would have expected, you know, fun trade drama in other sports is like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
In the NHL, it's like, oh, this is
a little gross. I feel icky.
This is like a 18-year-old kid and you're making him sound like he's a real piece of shit.
Yeah, like to the people of Philadelphia, who of course are known for their hospitality and their acceptance of others. So
yeah, part of me, like, so if it weren't a kid who just didn't feel like playing in Philly, like I would be like, yeah, I mean, there's like a certain amount of solidarity between Boston and Philly fans because they're the same kind of fans. Yeah. Where like the guy I always think about is Isaiah Thomas. Like, he was with the Celtics for like 3 years, but just like fully embraced the city and ever, like, he will never buy a drink in Boston ever again. Like, he's just like universally loved in Boston just because he was like, I love Boston. And if someone comes in and says, I love Philly, Philly's like, love this guy.
He's one of. Yeah. So there is like an identity crisis kind of thing of like, you know, they're like insecure almost in a way. Like, you know, if somebody comes in, it's like, fuck Boston. Like,
oh, you don't like Philly? Fuck you.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I think, what's going on here, where they're like, oh, you know what? Well, fucking, we don't want you anyway. So that kind of
Why don't you go home?
Yeah. Fucking water, whatever they say. I don't know.
You grab your water and go home?
Yeah. You're pretty much New Jersey. All right. Let's relax. But no. We'll see if when his NHL day comes and he is on the road in Philly, that's gonna make for, you know, if they remember it, which they will. They will. They're petty enough.
People saying they're gonna boo him. No, he's gonna get batteries thrown at him.
Yeah. This is going to be physical assault.
This city threw batteries at J.D. Drew, and they threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
How do you throw anything at J.D. Drew? Like, that dude was like, I think, pretty vanilla. I don't want to say something that I'm not fully informed, but I don't know. I feel like J.D. Drew, every time I looked at him, he was just like, he probably eats grilled cheese for dinner.
I don't remember the exact case, but I think he was like a UCLA player, got drafted by Philly and decided not to go and stayed in school for another year and then got drafted by St. Louis or something. Whatever. He got batteries thrown at him.
You know, it's all fair in love and batteries. So, well, you know, don't throw batteries at people.
Yep.
If you take one thing from this podcast, save the batteries for your remote, not your sports player, your local sports villain.
All right. Good episode. Yep. See you next time. Bye. Thank you.